Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The Watch Your Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Kat. Welcome to Watch Your Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me again.
So happy to have you back. So tell us what you've been up to.
So I have been writing a little bit. I wrote two holiday novellas and I just released a new full-length novel. So it's a series with three books. They're interconnected standalones called the Game Series. So that's what I've been doing.
So tell to us about the Game Series. What was the source of inspiration? Because I know it's, as you mentioned, it's a little different from Partner Track, from your debut novel. So talk to us about what led you to write these novels and like, what was, you know, how is it different?
Yes. Okay. So I would say Partner Track is very classic rom-com. I am so sorry if you can hear any weird moaning in the background. Those are my dogs who just got back from their dental surgery. I know you said you couldn't hear them before, but just in case any listener hears anything. Yes. Partner Track was a really straightforward rom-com. I feel like I threw every trope in there that ever existed. I was just really leaning into the feeling of, you know, what is romance to me? Airplane Games is how I would describe as unhinged. It is structurally very different. The characters are very much love them or hate them. The main character, I don't call her a manic pixie dream girl. I call her a depressive goblin nightmare bitch because that's exactly what she is. But she's so much fun and I love her. And the other thing about this book is that it's a male-only point of view, which is very different for me. So I wrote this over NaNoWriMo. I did it in 30 days. Of course, I did a lot of revisions. It is not like sloppily or quickly done. But I think like the male character just kind of came to me. And that's so different for me. Usually like the male character is the one I struggle to find. And I find the female character very quickly because I write male-female, but romance. But no, I like love this character. It's just different. It's I would say there are a lot of time jumps. It's just a really fast, quick read. And I just had a lot of fun writing it. Kind of like, you know, when you go to the airport and an airport is like a liminal space. Mm-hmm. Like an airport is never your destination. And for some reason that like really inspired me because going to airports just feels like time stops. It stands still. It like nothing is ever happening in an airport and you never see the same people twice. So I just kind of thought, what would happen if I wrote a book about somebody who saw someone in an airport once and then again, and then again, and they just kept running into each other. So that was kind of the inspiration for it, I would say.
Oh my gosh. So I was assuming these people are either traveling for work or they're just like, you know,
yes,
constantly on the airport, you know.
They are two travelers. I'll just tell you. So the main characters, one is a high-end mechanic. So what he does, he runs his own business where basically the wealthiest people in the world hire him to work on their very, very specialized vehicles. So he's constantly flying around to these clients to fix their stuff. So he's around like all these really wealthy people all day. Now she, on the other hand, is a wedding photographer, but she specializes in destination weddings. So she's also flying around all the time. And they're also always working with equipment, always dealing with their hands. So they have a lot in common, but it is definitely an opposites attract type situation.
Oh my gosh. So what was the process of writing the male point of view? Because it can be daunting. Like we're not male, you know, we don't know what the male point of view thinks. We have an idea, you know, but you know, it's a little bit different. And if you're writing a whole story from that point of view, what was the process for you?
Okay. So I, for instance, didn't write the male point of view in Partner Track. It is only the female main character's point of view. And I kind of thought maybe that's how I would always write. And then, so his name is Parker in the book. I guess you know, just like with any character as a writer, you just have to connect to the character's humanity and what makes them unique and special, who they are, you know, what you have in common with them, like whatever part of you you're pulling out to make them come alive is what you have to find. And I think maybe there, you know, I think in all of us, we all encompass all genders and all gender mm-hmm. expressions somewhere. And you just have to find it. You just have to find it within you. And for whatever reason, like Parker is a really sensitive character. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I like sensitive men. I like men who are in touch with themselves. And that was the character that I found not only within myself, but that I find myself being around as far as men are concerned. And also he is the kind of man, I'm not saying he's based off my husband. He's not at all. They're very different people. However, he is the kind of man that I personally want to be with, so, or that I have been with in the past. So a man who really likes a crazy unhinged bitch, because hear me out. I am suspect of any man who doesn't like women who are mean to them. I'm suspect of it. Like, if you want to know the true character of a man, see how they act when a woman is mean to them or rude to them or doesn't give them exactly what they want, because men can show you their red flags very quickly in that way if you don't act exactly the way they want you to. So the character that I wrote is a character who is not afraid of women who challenge him. And I'm not saying a woman exists to challenge a man, not at all. And I certainly don't take that position in the book either. But I do think that men who don't love women who are extremely mean to them are confused and they need help. So I wanted to write a character that represented that, because I do think a lot of people, it is a really polarizing book and I totally understand why, and everybody's feelings on it are valid, but I think a lot of people don't understand that, like, as women, we have to be mean to men because men will murder us, you know?
Yeah, you can write a thriller where the husband did it, or you can watch Dateline, any type of Dateline, and you'll know it's the husband who did it.
It's the husband, right?
I'm in Puerto Rico. I watched Puerto Rican TV, and a lot of, like, we have like a high domestic violence, you know, rate, and there's like a lot of times is the husband who kills the wife. Like, it's just like they're so insecure that they need to assert their control, and they're like, all the different things. So yeah, it's a completely understandable. And those are red flags. Those are not emotionally available guys that you're gonna fix and you're gonna like do romance novel imagination. No, those are red flags. Those are like, you know, discard. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely red flags. And I think I really kept that in mind when I was writing this character. I'm like, and there are men out there who can be like secure within themselves and can mm-hmm. look at women as, you know, full people who are not there to just keep them happy all the time, which I think and I think that is reflected in romance novels sometimes too. I'm not gonna lie. So also one more thing I'm gonna say. Yeah. We love like the alpha male, right? And I do too. I love all that. And we love to like forgive the man for like all kinds of offenses all the time in romance. And I love it too, believe me. But in this book, the roles are reversed and you really need to offer that same grace to this female character. And yeah. I think that's a challenge for a lot of people and I totally get it, but that's just what I'm gonna put that out there.
But I think it's important. Like, honestly, we're in a reckoning. Like, our rights are being taken away. We're fighting for our life. Like, we're doing a lot of things. And so it's okay to just, you know, to assert yourself. It's okay. Like, I think it's like, there's an idea that if you're dating this guy, you're supposed to like lose yourself in this relationship and all these different things. The reality is like, no, like, I'm not losing myself. I can be a breadwinner. I can actually have creative pursuits and I can actually have a life outside of it because I'm not procreating children and raising children and doing all this and taking care of the house. Like, I expect you to take care of the house too, other than taking the trash, you know, like there's like a whole balance of stuff. And like, there's a generation of men that hopefully are growing up and they're seeing like, oh, like actually this is okay. Like, this is expected, you know, that we'll replace those old, you know, machistas,
which we do still love in romance to some degree. Yeah. Like, I know we do, and I get why we love it. and, you know, it's just a way to kind of like reclaim and retell those stories about like a really macho man, right? But he'll murder other people for you. He'll never murder you.
Yeah.
Hashtag romance.
Hashtag mafia romance. Hashtag cartel romance. You know,
yeah. Exactly.
Morally gray, you know, and it's okay. Like sometimes you just need those kind of like, you get to see them. But like, sometimes I'm like, I'm fine just enjoying it. But in my real life, I do not want this. I've done enough therapy. I've done 23 years of therapy to know that this is not acceptable.
You put in the fucking work, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, so no. So let's chat some book recommendations. You have actually some fun, like not, you know, typical romance recommendations, which I love. So talk to us about this beautiful sociopath that...
Okay, so what I'm recommending, and this is very different than last time I came on. Now, the fourth season of You just came out. However, I read the first two books like a long time ago, and I haven't read the rest of them, but I am recommending the first two books in the series by Caroline Kepnes, You, which I know are not romance, but technically the second one is a romance, and that one's called Hidden Bodies. And I'm recommending them because I've always said this, romance and horror are a centimeter apart. And a lot of times all you have to do to find horror in romance is just shift the perspective ever so slightly. And that is what You is. Like the main character, he is a romantic at heart. He is a romantic. He is also a serial killer. And I love pushing us into this perspective of a man who considers himself a good guy, right? Who is violent and murderous and, you know, absolutely misogynistic to his core, makes you side with him in the most horrendous way. And people will go to bat for Joe in You. And I'm not just talking about like in the TV show, like definitely in the book, it is so immaculately written. The first chapter of the first book, You, is a masterpiece. When I first read it, I was like, this is beautifully done. So I absolutely recommend the first and second book. I think that the social commentary is so on point, and it really just like makes you question your own preconceived ideas about love and men and, you know, the dynamics between genders. So I would recommend those two books. Did I recommend those? Okay. I feel like can I smush them together like that?
You can, because I think There's a segment. One of my favorite segments is actually I have a list full of serial killers romance. There's something to be said that serial killers should fall in love to. Sometimes sociopaths should fall in love to. I know it's like it's contradictory. So you know, it is. I'm a human being. I'm not supposed to be like, you know, one way of doing. I contradict myself. I love serial killer romance. I love like, you know, that idea, the Dexter, the Joe, like that idea. I'm like, you know, they should fall in love to. It's okay.
And you know, the thing about You is that it would absolutely be a straight romance if he wasn't murdering his love interest some of the time. Yeah. Some of the time. And I feel like you could sell it as a straight romance. And we would 100% eat it up, and we eat it up just as it is also. Yeah. So, and I know these are really popular books. Obviously, nobody needs me to recommend these books, but I just think that the writing is so perfect. And I think it makes me double think what I'm doing when I'm writing romance. Cause I'm like, am I writing a serial killer or am I writing a romance? We're so close. We're so close all the time.
Just juggling that.
So, yeah. And I'll say like my theme that for my recommendations are monsters. So we have You. So we have Joe from You. And then my other recommendation sounds like it doesn't fit. It's called The Master by Cressley Cole. Have you read her?
I read The Professional. I read the first one. So the first one, which in that series, which is like a masterpiece.
I mean, yeah, like three eroticas, like I think these are her only erotic romances that she has published as far as I remember. But The Master. Okay. So technically I do not read billionaire romance. And I know that all these men in the three men in these series are billionaires, but I take a pass because I think that The Master is, it's, it's also a monster because he's a billionaire, and he's also just a monster in general because he like basically holds a woman captive in his like penthouse. But it's just so like campy and hot and fun and crazy and like over the top that like I buy it for every second. There was not one moment where I was like, oh no, she really needs to get out of there. You know what I mean? I was just like fully in it. And so I, going along with my theme of like monsters, I would put The Master in there as well. And that was the first one in the series I think I read. But is it, it might also be the first in the series. I'm not sure, but I know you can read all three.
You can read them standalone. They're all like, it's like kind of like mafia-esque run-in. So they're light on the, if you're new to mafia, they're light on the mafia, but they're high in the heat. So it's like a good introduction for like, if you're interested in dipping your toes in it, this is a good dip your toes in it. Like it's, you have some of the areas, like there's kidnapping, there's captive captor, and there's like sex scenes and sex clubs and all these different things. But it's not as dark as it could be, you know? So
I would actually say very light. Yeah. And even though I know the kidnapping scene, like in the one, nobody would call that as light, but the way that Kresley Cole writes it, I feel like is so campy that it's light, where you're just kind of like, this is funny. Like, you know what's going to happen, but you want it and you're like ready and it's just fun. And I love it. Yeah. I think you're exactly right. You described that so well. It is a good introductory to like darker mafia stuff. And I'm not a huge dark romance reader, but in this stuff was like easy breezy for me. So
yeah.
Perfect.
This is not like huge trigger warnings where there's like, blah, blah, blah. And like, no, this is just like fun, campy. Like you get a dip on your toes in captive captive romance, which, you know, it's a love language. I enjoyed it. Do not enjoy
can't
it.
Argue with that. Life. Cannot. No.
My real life, I do not enjoy it. But in the romance, you know, I do enjoy it. You know,
I love the disparity between what we want in real life and what we are willing and not only willing to, but seeking out in reading, which is like absolutely the most vile, disgusting shit that we would never ever want in real life.
So funny enough, I heard about this. Like Danish people are really happy, but they read dark stuff. So it sometimes is like you have like this happy. Like other life, like your real life, you have like pretty happy, you're pretty stable, and then you just look for the darker stuff just to trigger those feelings. So I think it's like it might be like this is just part of the human emotion that you just need that, you know, tapping into that. So
my God, I love that. Yeah, it's like the rainbow of emotions we all must experience. There is no happiness without the deep dark depths of kidnapping, you know?
Yeah. Captor, captive. And like, honestly, it could be a love language where it's like, I want you. I'll touch her. I'll kill you. You
know? We love that. That's one of our faves.
It is all good. So Kat, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me at my website at catwynauthor.com. You can also find me at most platforms at catwynauthor. That's CATWYNN. And then you can also find me on my podcast, It's All Dark and Fictional, if you are into podcasts about romance fiction by romance writers, which clearly you are if you're listening here. And you can find me in Charleston, South Carolina, if you live near me.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.